This week's episode is brought to you by Beverly Hills Orthodontics, brightening smiles with the state-of-the-art technology in Invisalign since 2008. Love yourself, love your smile. You can find them on Instagram at Beverly Hills Ortho or online at www.beverlyhillsortho.com.
Good morning, everyone. This is Brandon Matloff in Los Angeles. Welcome to the Stella Oak Mavens podcast, where we feature different mavens in different fields. A maven is an expert of an expert. They are the go-to person who you would want to ask all the questions to before making a decision. The purpose of our podcast is to help the consumer be more knowledgeable. Today, our podcast features Dr. Amir Voksher, neurosurgeon, whose passion is research of brain performance and its effect on everyday life and surgical healing. He utilizes a multidisciplinary approach in the treatment of adult spinal and cranial disorders. He is also the founder of the Institute of Neuroinnovation, and we are looking forward to hearing about the opportunity to get involved with that organization. Welcome, Amir.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Good morning.
So before we start, could you give us a little bit about your background? What was a neurosurgeon like back in college? What were you doing?
So I had a slightly atypical route. You know, there are neurosurgeons who, since they were 5 years old, they know they were going to be brain surgeons. I knew that I liked spine and the function of the spine, and I really liked and I had orthopedic injuries as a child, and as a small young skateboarder from ages like 16 on. But what really drew me to neurosurgery was learning about the structure and the function of the brain and the nervous system as a whole. And it was completely eye-opening for me because I had such gravitation toward it that I did not have to any other subject matter. Frankly, I remember science being sort of a boring subject matter in high school for me. So I wasn't typically the kind of student that has incredible aptitude for information, although in retrospect, I think I could have been coached better or guided better. But that's what brought me to it, just brain structure and function.
What's interesting is that, one, you said that, you know, science wasn't the most exciting subject in school. And I would guess that a lot of our listeners would feel the same way, but you still figured out a way to get into neurosurgery. And then what's clear is you have a passion for what you do, because you also started a nonprofit revolving around neurological disorders. And so what I'm wondering is, how did this passion occur? Was it really just you were a skateboarder, surfer, and just was obsessed with the brain? Or was there a trigger moment or something that happened that you knew, or that kind of made the difference of not just being a neurosurgeon, but really having passion for what you do?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think most of my life I've been a connector as far as connecting different parts of the information of my own life narrative. And being a patient, having undergone like a minor orthopedic surgeries on my knees, et cetera, and then being a doctor to try to alleviate suffering, and then being like just a curious human being passionate about the way our brain creates our experience on a daily basis and sort of dictates our overall energy and especially mindset and mindful control, was how I tried to connect it all. And I think a lot of information in our society comes in tiny little pockets and silos of philosophy and psychology and neurosurgery and neuroanatomy. And I was like, how great would it be if I could surround myself with experts from all those fields, from holistic healing to incredibly deep science into the nano level structure of the nervous system. So that's sort of where the idea came, that instead of being in silos and working separately, these fields should talk to each other to actually see how the nervous system functions the way it does. How do pixels become a picture for our reality to be made by the brain?
Is this something that you kind of learned on your own, or did you have a lot of mentors or people around you that helped lead you to this awareness?
So, you know, I think that that's a great question. And sometimes mentors happen when they least intend to. So I would say everything from like my father's humanistic approach to just being compassionate and empathetic toward people that are suffering, to the harsh realities of doing a residency in neurosurgery when you're extremely exhausted and sometimes some verbally abusive mentors may say something that you're surprised by, you were even pained by at the time during residency, because that's sort of like the way a surgical residency is supposed to work. You're supposed to sort of be made into this tough Marine, or at least that's how traditionally used to work. hopefully not as much now, but it was sort of like you get lessons where you least expect it, and you make lemonade out of the lemons that you've been dealt, and how you deal with those is another part of like my making. Is it's also my brain and my nervous system taking all this in and then trying to create my next path or my perception of it. And even during those, you know, the harsh years of early neurosurgery training, I used to tell myself that the goal at site is what matters, not what you're undergoing on a daily basis, which is hours of work and sleeplessness and mentors that are for whatever reason just harsh in their personality or their perception of the reality at hand or unhappy.
You mentioned your father early on as you were explaining the different mentors that you may have had. Was he one of the reasons why you created INI? And maybe share with the audience what is INI?
Yes, thanks for asking. So yeah, my father contracted Alzheimer's, but he kind of hid it from us for approximately 10 to 15 years. And wow. He would just become this kind of humorous, senile person. But we soon realized that it was much more than that. And it was a florid manifestation of his Alzheimer's disease, which he finally succumbed to. And after he did, I had this kind of urge within myself to do more and actually sort of put my money where my mouth is. And I created this nonprofit called INI, Institute of Neuroinnovation, which does try to bring those silos of neuroscience into the same room together. So everything from holistic practitioners to nanoscientists to neuroscientists to neurosurgeons are sitting at the same board table talking about the same exact disease processes and things that cause suffering within human beings, such as Alzheimer's, dementia, post-traumatic stress, which is quite more rampant than people give it credit for, as well as concussion, post-concussion injuries that happen in young and professional athletes, as well as the general stress and the general disdain that happens in the Western society for a variety of other reasons that also has to do with how the brain is budgeting our energy.
So I've looked at your I pulled up your website, and I see that you have a really diverse group of board of directors. So just like you said, you have people in different areas and different aspects of science coming together and working on a common vision. And so what I guess the listener is wondering is how does this nonprofit help society, and where do you see INI going in the future?
So I think our goals are very clear. We want to be a world-class research institute. We want to help people alleviate suffering, especially those who are in need and can't afford the care. And we want to educate the public about this concept of a non-siloed approach to neuroscience and innovating in that space of how science is done in the first place. The method starts with just forming the diverse team that you're talking about, and then having stakeholders and decision makers for those cases that involve actual human life and suffering, and having experts in research and education on the other aspects of our mission. But that's a very ambitious goal that we have, and I really am more than excited to say that this is the time for neuroscience to finally make a huge difference in human life.
I can't wait for that. We all need it, and we all know somebody who suffered from a dementia or Alzheimer's or some type of neurological disorder over our lifetimes. So I'm imagining a lot of our listeners have experienced something in one of these capacities. And if they want to learn more or get involved or do something to, help out, is there an opportunity to do that with the nonprofit or the foundation?
Absolutely. We have from a simple education program of a 1 week internship with us in the operating room as well as outside, to actually getting involved from volunteering to interning to actually even employment opportunities with the organization can be found on our website at inifoundation.org.
And just for the listeners that are outside of California, maybe you could just share where where INI is located.
Sure. We're headquartered at Santa Monica, California, but we have board members and advisors all throughout the United States, and we even have some international collaborators. But we're currently out of greater Los Angeles area, and we're happy to host anyone here for an opportunity to see what the organization is about and help spread the message.
That's great. Our next podcast features David Henzel, who's actually in Turkey. And so we have an international presence in some of the different countries that focus on different types of businesses and organizations. So, here's another opportunity to take INI overseas. So now I'm kind of wondering about some other really cool things that I know that you've got going. There has to be a time in your life as a neurosurgeon, kind of when like the lights went on in a sense and you knew like you made it, where you're like, for the ability for you to like go outside the spectrum and like create a nonprofit, clearly you've had to make it as a neurosurgeon and get accolades and all those great things that I'm sure you've achieved over time. But is there a story where you either said to your wife one day, man, I really made it now? Or was there something that like the lights turned on? You're like, yeah, this was meant for me. I was put on this earth to do neurosurgery. Was there a moment in life that you can recall where, you separated yourself from everybody else, or that you really would be looked at as somebody who's achieved high success and you recognized it?
Yes, a few come to mind. I think from a technical standpoint, the first time you safely take out a complicated brain tumor and the patient is perfect in the postoperative area, you really feel great about yourself. And the gratitude that your patients show you as a result of you alleviating their suffering is quite, quite one of those moments where you feel like a superhero. And that's probably, just countless measures now, but I,
so basically you just save somebody's life and then you feel good about it. I got it. I can go with that. I think most people would appreciate that. Is there another story too? That was a good one.
That was amazing. I think the only other time is, just the sheer awe of looking inside the brain the first time, and trying to work out which way is left and which way is right. And realizing the three-dimensional anatomy that, almost looks part like a flower and part like a coral reef. And just the sheer awe of it that makes your hair stand up was probably a moment where I was like, I belong right here and this is exactly where I need to be.
I love it. Tell us about either a failure you've had or a challenge that you've experienced. And how did you overcome it? Like what went through it? It could be in working with a patient or in life or anything you want, but can you tell us about either a big failure you've had and how you had to overcome it, or a challenge?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest challenges is we're also human beings and we get fatigued and we get injured, and doctor burnout is actually on the rise. And I had a major injury during surfing where I broke my ankle. And afterwards, I wanted to work just as hard using a scooter and, operating on the spine on a brain, it's actually easier because you can sit down operating, but for the spine, you have to be standing up on a scooter for hours. And I really felt like I asked too much of myself and I was too critical. So I think self-care is one of those things where it really comes to mind. But another one is not being able to predict how well a patient will do and whether a surgical strategy is the most optimal strategy for that patient. As you know, back surgery is extremely complicated and fraught with potential for problems and complications. So we've actually instituted a mathematical model to try to predict that using artificial intelligence, and that's still in its infancy. But on a daily basis, my own computer, my brain, has to go through its thousands of cases and experience and try to come up with the best algorithm to treat a human being. And we've had failures in that respect, not a lot, thankfully, but even minor failures really get at you and make you want to strive to be better.
So how do you do your own personal healing? Do you do it through being involved with a nonprofit? Do you do it through surfing still? Or how do you take that time away to work on your inner space?
So that's a fantastic question. I started a meditation spa because I was so injured that I had to teach myself how to meditate. And I realized that I was terrible at it initially. And over months, I became better and better. And the meditative effort itself is extremely therapeutic. And we've gone through having a very signature guided breath work to combinational virtual reality methods with guided breath work. And both of those I practice very similar to you. You may be familiar with the Wim Hof method. There's definitely some physiologic benefits that have been extracted from those methods, but combined with some neuroscience principles, as well as self-hypnotic methods, and all of those together are very therapeutic. But basically, I would summarize it in saying mindfulness, meditation, physical exercise, and at all times trying to modify your own perception of something bad that has happened, or at least trying to look at it from different points of view, is very healthy.
Awesome. Well, before we wrap up, is there any advice that you would give a young neurosurgeon or someone who's starting out in that field? Is there any advice that you would give them as they think about the next, or even a doctor, or it could be another type of profession, but any advice that you would give to somebody coming out of school and trying to follow in the footsteps of medicine?
I would say it doesn't even just apply to medicine. I mean, I think everything can be looked upon from the standpoint of your nervous system and your ability to modify your thoughts and perception, or at least engage them at a level. So from an artist to an investment banking CEO to a doctor, we budget our energy based on our brain health. And if we keep our brain healthy, and there's many, you know, there's a huge conversation around that, I think we will perform better. And I think brain optimization for self-care will translate to a better societal care and will be a more empathetic and a more effective society.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Amir. I appreciate your time. And I'm sure that anybody listening is interested in looking at INIfoundation.org. And we really appreciate you being here.
Really, thank you so much for having me.
This has been a Stella Oak Mavens production. We empower you, the listener, to take control of your life.